You're all welcome to one. Please take this. I tell you what, I've never appreciated more than I do right now the importance of being prayed for. And this is a prayer list for my wife and for myself. You'll see a couple of typos here. One is our church plant, the Charity Bible Baptist Church, pastored, that should be pastored, by Jose Rosenbaum. Okay, a young man that's down in the city. He's doing a great job. I praise the Lord for him. Amen. I came along. Actually, I've gone back to the church to help out with the young people over there, the 6 to 12-year-olds. Okay, and so anyhow, this is kind of self-explanatory. After the service, if you take one, I'd appreciate it. John, you got to take one. Amen. All right, brother. I just want you. Okay, I want you to be more specific in your prayers. And so, without any further ado, listen, I just want to thank you on my own behalf and on behalf of my family for proving the sincerity of your love to me and our family. The hospitality, the accommodations that you give. I have to say, out of all the accommodations we had, your home was the best. I mean, the little ones, they still talk about that. They really, really do. We didn't want to put you to work, you know, a whole lot of work, so because there's so many of us. But I never will forget that time we went over, and I came downstairs, and all the ladies were green. They had green stuff all over them, man. I'm wondering, what's going on here? And Judy was the littlest kid there. I mean, that's the way she acts. She's just having so much fun giggling. And so anyhow, that was just a nice memory. But they had one of those, what do you call it, facial or something, the green stuff? What was that stuff anyhow? What was in it? Never mind. Don't tell me what was in it. But anyhow, the Liberty. Oh, okay. I'm not going any further with that one. Because with the thing, never mind. But anyhow, the liberty that you give us, the encouragement, you don't know how important that is. Amen? I tell you, there's times when I'm not, my granddaughter said, Grandpa, you do better when you're in the pulpit. When you're not in the pulpit, Grandpa, you get depressed, don't you? She's right. Woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. Amen? And so you bless us spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically. You bless us like hardly anybody else financially, socially as far as fellowship, and certainly in our relationship with the Lord. That pretty much covers it all. Amen. And so we truly do praise the Lord for you. With that being said, Father, once again, I come before you, acknowledging, Lord, I'm not able to do anything to glorify you without your help. Just mentioned earlier that you resist the proud, but you give grace to the humble. And so I come before you humbly, asking you to use me and my little brother, who I have so much respect and admiration for, to first be a blessing to you, as we motivate, challenge, and encourage the saints to abide, to continue, to begin, and to continue to remain in close fellowship with you until the Lord enables us to bear the only fruit that his Spirit produces, the fruit of the Spirit, which is the likeness of Jesus Christ, to the glory of God. The Father, Jesus is the glory of God. He's your greatness wrapped up in human, well, in a glorified body now. And I don't believe in anything brings you anything more glory than to see us bearing the fruit of Christ's likeness. Oh God, I know you'll do exceeding abundantly above all I can ask or think tonight. Thank you for this tremendous responsibility, this great privilege, this opportunity to come along this great pastor, these two great pastors, to co-labor with them, to help edify the body, numerically, especially spiritually. pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Open up with a song that's really certainly very appropriate. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning my song shall rise to thee. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Holy, 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 all the saints adore thee, casting down their golden crowns around the glassy sea. Cherubim and seraphim falling down before thee, which word and not and evermore shall be. Holy, 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 though the darkness hide thee, though the eye of sinful man thy glory may not see. Only thou art holy, there is none beside thee, perfect in power and love and purity. Amen. If you'll turn to our text, please. 1 John chapter 2, I'll let you know. 1 John chapter 2, verses 22 through 28. And certainly this is the text for all three messages today, including this one. Our title is, Are You Ready? Are You Ready? Are You Ready? Amen. And the admonition or the significance is, are you ready for Christ's return? I thought it would be appropriate to speak on this. The pastor told me to preach what was on my heart. And I know that he had talked to me last year about, you know, the previous years I preached on the love of God, then we preached on charity, then we preached on faith, on faith. I believe that was last year. And he said, you know what, it would be good to preach on hope. Well, if you have me back, I'll preach on hope. Amen. But this is what the Lord laid on my heart for this season. Amen, because it might not be a next year. I mean, time is short. The signs of the time are very, very clear. Prophetic timetable in reference to the Lord coming back. From what I understand, everything has already been fulfilled, perhaps except for the fulfillment of the Gentiles coming in. And I think that I take that to mean that until that last person comes in, and we don't know who that might be, and when that might be, but I believe it's soon and very soon. And so we want to be ready. The admonition he gives us is that be also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Amen. Now, from a biblical perspective, the best way to be ready, perhaps the only way to be ready, is really found in this text here. Because it talks about being saved, you know, first, allowing him to abide in you, and then you abiding in him. Amen? And so let's read the text. 1 John chapter 2. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. He takes up residence there. And you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it has taught you, you shall abide in him. And now, today, little children, abide in him that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Now, right now, question we asked earlier today, first lesson was, are you abiding in him? In reference to having an intimate relationship with him? Have you begun and then continue to remain in close fellowship with him? Staying close enough to allow him to enable you to bear the only fruit that his spirit produces, the likeness of Jesus Christ. Are you close enough to the Lord to where when others see you, can they say, I see Christ? When others hear you speak, can they say, I hear Christ? If not, then you're not abiding as close as we can. You know, I heard a sister say that she'd never heard her parents even argue with one another. Her parents. And I marvel at that. Would to God I could say that I've never argued with my wife. You know, I'm in the process now of really learning how to love my wife unconditionally. For years, you know, you don't love me, I'm not loving you. That's confession. That's a sign of immaturity. But one thing I say about immaturity, you know, God has to bring you to a place where he wants you to be. Man can't do that. And areas that, and I'm not saying this make excuses, but the areas that one person is weak in, somebody else might be strong in. But the point is, God's got us all on the same journey to bring us to a place where we are trusting him with all of our hearts. Lean not on our own understanding. And that's all about this abiding relationship. And so we emphasize that this morning. And, you know, I tell you, I'm burdened. I'm very burdened for the body of Christ today because I see where the body is. I get opportunity to go to many churches, and I see some of the same things. You know, this church is acceptable. And I'm not trying to brown nose you because you've heard this before, but you haven't arrived. I'm sure there's a remnant here of people that have not bowed their knee to Baal. There's a remnant of people that are here who have surrendered their heart, the throne of their heart, to Jesus. And there's some that have yet to do that. You know, I tell you, this time, the times when I'm surrendered, I tell you, brother, and this is the times that I'm really surrendered, the Lord goes before me. And he answers questions, he answers prayer before I even can even ask him things. Even the slightest things. And I don't have time to really mention even just the last couple of days. Like, bam, right there. How'd you know that? How did you know I wanted to see this person? Just the other day, yesterday, I said, Lord, you got to remind me to turn this water off before I leave town because I was washing out the trash can and I was just letting the water run. And right before I got in the car to leave, I'd forgotten. And my daughter said, or my wife and my daughter, both of them simultaneous, well, they both really get me at the same time all the time, anyhow, almost all the time. He said, turn the water off, dummy. I said, oh, duh. That was the Lord. Oh, is that it? Really? When you're close enough to him, all the things that God wants you to experience are found in an abiding relationship with the Lord. The abundant life, victorious over sin, crucified life, and that's really what it's all about. Abiding in him is experiencing the crucified life. It was no longer I, but him. I know you know these things, but we need to be reminded. Because I tell you, you can know and not experience something. I got into the place where, you know, speaking on abiding and speaking on the love of God, and I thought I was an authority. And Lord reminded me, Tony, You're just scratching the surface. How did he do it? Well, he allowed me to go through some really rough times. And God's timing is always good. Sometimes you might cry out to God about coming out of things, and some guy, God might just hold you there. I'm learning how to abide closer. There's nothing like it. So anyhow, I'm burdened for the church. So we talked about how in our second service, how abiding relationship is the ultimate intimate relationship with the Lord, a relationship that is epitomized or is the epitome of all other relationships. There's no other greater relationship than to abide in him as he abides in you. And summed up with this whole concept of oneness, what oneness is all about. God in you and you in him. Experiencing the Godhead, the God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost living in you, through you. That's Christianity. It is the essence of Christianity. It's what Christianity is all about. And this is life eternal, that you may know God, him, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, his Son. Know them in a real and an intimate, personal way. A relationship that he planned even before he created the world. God is outside of time. He knew. He knows who it is going to choose with a lot of encouragement from the Lord to become a child of God. He didn't plan some to go to heaven, some to go to hell. He just gave you a free will to make a choice. He won't make you to have, he won't make you have. He'll encourage you to have the intimate, ultimate intimate relationship, the abiding relationship, but he won't make you. He exemplified this relationship in John chapter 14 when he said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. What a testimony. You know, I would to God I could so go to someone and I could say, yeah, little brother, when you see me, you've seen Jesus. He had the audacity to say that because of who he is. And because of the intimate, how close he was to the Lord, the Father. Are we that close? Yeah, I meant to say this earlier, and I believe the Lord prompted me. I remember at a picnic a few years ago, one of our deacons was speaking. I never will forget this message. And you can tell when messages, when God speaks by his spirit to your spirit, it just gets down inside of you. And he was talking about, you know, how people sometimes they say, you know, and making excuses for their behavior. So listen, that's just the way I am. Well, you can't get by with that. You know, I do this because that's the way I am. I'm mean because that's the way I am. I'm this and I'm that because of that's the way I am. Well, that's not who God wants you to be. He wants you to be like his son. Don't try to pull that one on the Father. There's no excuse for bad behavior from a child of God. No excuse for sin. I was reading this pamphlet on being bipolar because you know, people were telling me you got too high highs and too low lows, and you know you're higher than most people, and when you get low, my goodness, boy, do you get low. And that's true, I do. I think we all get schizo sometimes, especially Christians, when you're not abiding. I know I do. When I take my eyes off the Lord, I sink like Peter. and the circumstances become my guide. I begin to worship. Now I'm playing with your ministry. Are you? It becomes an addiction that affects your soul. And if you're not careful, it can, you know, anxiety can affect your body eventually. Kick the snot right out of you. That's my blood pressure. That's my heart when I contracted a congestive heart failure. Would God let you die? God, listen, God is the God of the living. But he'll use anything that you have to bring you to a place where you'll surrender for your own good and for his glory. Even a stroke. I didn't say he caused it, but he'll use it. Relationship that he encourages us to experience. Revelation 3:20. Jesus is knocking at the door. Jesus is calling your name. Jesus is knocking at the door of your heart. He's calling your name. Do yourself a favor. Open the door. Let him in. To your heart daily. Give him the throne. Then you'll be ready when he returns. You give him the throne, you'll be looking for him like Paul. Paul said, listen, I'm ready. The time of my departure is at hand. He wasn't going to be raptured like we are. Some of us are going to be alive. He wasn't going to be alive. He knew that. He knew he was going to die, but he knew he was going to meet his maker, and he was ready. Amen. He had to learn. He learned his life, his whole time, lifetime. He learned how to be content or how to abide in the Lord. And then he said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Henceforth, when you saw Paul, you saw Jesus. He said, Christ is manifesting his body, whether it's by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ. And he said, but I had to die daily. You got to, listen, you got to die daily. That's your part. But you can't do that in the flesh. You have to yield to Jesus. And you have to choose to do that if you're saved. You know, Pastor, since you said what you said, and brother, I wasn't going to go this way, but I asked the Lord to lead. All right? But you're still going to do your thing. You're just not going to take as much time to do it. And I say that in love. Neither will I. We know how to edit. But I read this at, let me say this. Concerning this whole anxiety thing and the highs and the lows and that sort of thing. But anyhow, this is some commentary on this verse 15:11 in John chapter 15. It speaks about abiding in the Lord. These things have I spoken unto you, that you might my joy might remain in you, and that your joy may be full. Here's the writing here. He says this, when things are going well, we feel elated or excited. Y'all happy. When hardships come, we sink into depression. Oh, that's me. But true joy transcends or go beyond these ways of circumstance. Joy comes from a consistent relationship with Jesus Christ. When our lives are intertwined with his abiding, he will help us walk through adversity without sinking into debilitating lows, and manage prosperity without moving into deceptive highs. The joy of living with Jesus Christ daily keeps us level-headed no matter how high or low our circumstances. Well, some say, well, that doesn't work for me. Listen, have you remained long enough? Do you not realize that the Lord can transcend all of this stuff? Trust me on that. I can't afford to go any further because we've got to move on. But it works for me. I know some people that have been diagnosed with a bipolar illness. A good pastor friend of mine, he said, Tony, you probably have a lesser case than I do. I've had it so bad at times where I thought I was having a heart attack for 3 days, panic attacks. But Jesus is the answer. And, you know, and the healing, when he heals, you know, it's according to his will, his measure, his timing. Pastor, you mentioned earlier today, you know, and I'm paraphrasing a little bit, that this one brother, God chooses to, if he doesn't choose to heal him on this side of glory, hallelujah. If he's a brother, he can look for it on the other side. With regardless of what illness he might suffer, we had to come to a place where abiding in Christ so much where, like Paul said, you listen, I would rather have grace than healing. Because when I'm, yeah, he said, I glory in my infirmities because the power of Christ rests upon me. Amen. Tonight, we want to talk to you about how to abide or begin to continue remain in close fellowship with him until he enables you to be like Christ or to be holy. Holiness is Christ-likeness. Now, brother's going to give us a definition that really speaks to that. And before we do that, we're going to sing a song together. Come on, brother. That really speaks to how to be Christ-like and how to abide. Powerful song. Some of you are very familiar with it, and some of you are too familiar with it, so it doesn't have any meaning for you anymore. And that's too bad. Yeah. It really is, brother. You know, we can't become too familiar. You know, I like the old hymns because I'm old school. But I like the content, too, of the songs. You know, the songs, a lot of the contemporary songs, they're like speaking to God. These are about him.
Yeah.
Amen?
That's right.
And so anyhow, did we want a piano or we just want to cut and dry?
Man, we just got this.
We got this?
We'll be all right.
All right.
Lord will help us. We got it.
Okay. Take time to be holy. Speak off with thy Lord. Abide in him always and feed on his word. Make friends with God's children. Help those who are weak. Forgetting it nothing, his blessing to see. Brother, why don't you break that verse down for us?
All right.
And I'll follow with the second one. Talking about how to become holy or abide in Christ to become like Jesus. This is what this song is about.
You know, he's talking about taking time to be holy. The first thing I want you got to know is, what's holiness? What is it to be holy? A lot of times we think of that word, we think about being holy, and we think about, you know, automatic. The only answer that we have is God, because that's the only thing that we can understand as being holy. We don't know anything that's holy in this world. There's nothing to compare it to, and so I thought about the definition, and so I looked it up, and I was amazed at how Webster puts it. And he says, perfectly pure, immaculate, and complete in moral character. A man is more or less holy as his heart is more or less sanctified from evil dispositions. We call a man holy when his heart is conformed in some degree to the image of God, and his life is regulated by divine precepts.
Amen.
Say, what is it? It's the image of God. Jesus Christ is deemed the express image of his person. It's putting on Christ. Amen. It is simply put, is incorporating what Jesus Christ would have us do and doing that. By divine nature. You and I, we don't live holy, and the reason we don't live holy is because we're not. He's saying, holy, holy, holy. Though the eye of sinful man thy glories may not see, only thou art holy. And God makes the statement in Hebrews, he says, be holy, for I am holy. We look at that verse and our answer is, I can't do that. Then why would God tell you to do it?
Amen. Good preaching.
That's a cop-out. That's what he was talking about a little while ago. That is a cop-out. I can't do that because I'm a man. You're right. You can't. You have to do it through him.
Amen.
It's the idea of putting on Christ and living by his precepts and living the way that he wants you so that you can have some degree of holiness in your life. But you notice it doesn't say just to be holy. The song makes sure that you know, take time to be holy.
It does take time.
You don't just go, oh, I'm going to be holy, so there we go. We're done. It would be wonderful if it was that simple, that we could just be like, oh, hey, I want to be holy today, so there we go. I'm holy. That's why in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 4, he says that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Taking time to be holy does not take one day. It does not take one week. It does not take one month. It does not take one year. It doesn't take 5 years or 10. It takes a lifetime. Because you know just as well as I do, the day that you think you have something secured and you feel that you are holy in that area of your life is the day that you are going to fail at keeping that area holy in your life. The day you feel secure about your holiness in one spot is the day that you stop being holy there because your pride is lifted up.
Come on, preacher.
You say, well, I'm secure there. I don't have to worry about... Yeah, you do. That's why he says, take time to be holy. Speak oft with thy Lord. Abide in him always and feed on his word. I believe those three phrases all are connected because the only way you can abide in him is to speak with him and to let him speak to you. Amen. To abide in him is to know what he wants you to do, and the only way you know what he wants you to do is to crack open a book that tells you what he wants you to do. His commandments and his precepts, how do you know them? He gave them to you. But we don't take time to learn what he wants us to learn. Holiness, once again, it's take time to be holy. God does not want you necessarily to read 20 pages today. He wants you to spend time.
Come on, preacher.
I know oftentimes we put numbers on things and we go, well, how much did you read? How much did you get done? How far did you get? But too many times we focus on that number as opposed to, did you spend time with God?
Amen.
Did you spend time with what you were reading? The thing, Tony and I have talked about it. I've talked about it with some of you. I may have even mentioned it. You know, the problem that I had with Bible reading for the longest time was that I would read it, but I wouldn't retain any of it. And I wouldn't retain any of it because I didn't take time. I read it as quickly as I could because I felt I had to get so much in. You know, God doesn't care if you get a lot in. He wants it in. And you rushing through it doesn't help you. You taking time to understand what he's trying to tell you, that's fellowship. How would it be if at your house, your spouse would tell you all these things and you would nod as if you were listening. And then 2 days later, they expected something of you because that's what they were talking about.
Come on.
And they look at you, why didn't you come through? It's simple, you weren't fellowshipping. You were nodding. You read your Bible like that, don't you? We've all been there. We read it, and we nodded, and we checked it off, and we said, good, I got it. And there was no abiding. There was no taking time to learn what he wants of you. And you know why you have to speak oft with thy Lord? Because he needs to know where you are. So that when you open it, he can give you what you need then. The two go hand in hand. The reason prayer and Bible reading go together so often is not because it's just simple, we always lump those two together. It's because that's the way the communication works.
That's right.
You can have one and you can have the other, but if they both don't come together, then one person's talking and nothing is happening. The exchange doesn't happen. God wants you to abide, and the reason he wants you to abide is so that you and he can have a relationship and a communion. But most Christians decide they don't want to take the time.
Did you say most, brother?
I did say most.
Amen. I thought I heard you.
Some do.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
But most don't. Most don't want to take time. They feel inconvenienced.
I wonder how many here would say that they want to take time. That's really the question, right?
That is the question. How many of you want to take time? Now, we're all sitting here, of course, we're all going to go, oh, yeah. Well, of course. You say, why? Because Brother Tony's sitting up here, and I'm standing here, and Pastor's in the audience, and so, of course, we all want to. When it's convenient. Because you find, as the song goes on, make friends of God's children.
That's fellowship with them.
Help those who are weak. Most of the time, we don't have time for the weak. Most of the time, Galatians chapter 6 gets taken and thrown out the window.
Mm.
Ye which are spiritual. Do what?
Restore
such an one. In the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens. Pick up the weak, and so fulfill the law of Christ. We go, it's too much time. Ask Pastor Legault. ask anybody who works in RU. Ask anybody who's been in the ministry for any length of time. You know what people need that are hurting and that are feeling weak? You know what you've needed because you've called? Because we've all been weak? You needed time. You needed somebody else's time. To do what? To get stronger. To help you bear the burden till you could be strong enough to bear your own.
Good preaching, young man.
And some of you today are bearing your own burden because somebody else was willing to take the time to act and to behave themselves, and to put some holiness in their life, and to be holy in an area so that they would bear your burden. You'd see Jesus Christ in them holding your burden just like he took your burden at Calvary. But you don't want to be friends with anybody. Or you look around and none of your friends are God's children. They're the world's. And you're not helping them either.
They need to
see
Christ.
But I won't. Preach too long on that. I'll let Tony kick you around on that. Because we don't want friends of God's children. Because what happens when you get friends of God's children? My best friends are now in Alaska. You know what Matt and I would do? We would stay up and we would talk Bible. And we'd go back and forth. We'd have odd ideas and we'd think of things and we'd see a verse and we'd go, I don't know what that means. What do you think? And I do that with other people here. Ben and I were just talking before the service and between services. For what? Because when you're friends of God's children, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friends. But you don't want to be sharpened. You'd rather be dull. dulled on the things of the world. Because if you were sharp with God, you'd be accountable for what you knew. So you try not to learn, and you try not to abide, and you try not to, you just try to stay ignorant. So that you don't feel accountable. That doesn't work with God. And he ends it because I got to hurry up.
He's a good preacher now.
Tony's gonna kick me out of here soon. Forgetting in nothing, his blessing to seek. How many of you have gone through horrible trials? Everybody? We've gone through some rough things. I have. I know you have. Some of you have gone through worse things than I have ever gone through and possibly will ever go through. But you know, we forget too many times that when the trials come, to look for his blessings. We dwell on the problems.
That's good.
We dwell on the issues. We dwell on all the things that are wrong. Could you imagine if Jesus Christ at Calvary dwelt on everything that was wrong? You get to Hebrews chapter 12, looking on at Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame. What was he looking at? He was looking beyond the trial. He was looking beyond the day that he would be beaten and whipped and ripped apart and have those nails driven through him and left to hang there. And that's not even the worst of it. The worst of it was, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And the punishment that would come for the price of your redemption. What if he just looked at the problems and just said, you know what, I don't want any problems. Instead, he looked for the blessings. Say, what's Christ like? Christ like is to quit worrying about you and start worrying about him. Quit worrying about self and start looking to everybody else's need. Help those who are weak. Quit worrying about self and just abide in him. Now worry about how you look to everybody else. You could come up and you could ask Pastor Lego how many pages he reads a day, and you can go, oh, well, I should read that many. Or you can ask Brother Tony, you can ask some of these folks who've been saved for a long time, go, oh, well, I ought to read that much so I can be spiritual. No. You ought to take time. You ought to take time. You ought to take time with the Savior.
Amen.
And that'll make you spiritual.
Good preaching, man. Count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Verse 2, take time to be holy, all world rushes on. Spend much time in secret with Jesus alone. By looking to Jesus, like him thou shalt be. Thy friends and thy conduct his likeness shall see. I'd like to, in reference to this particular verse and taking time to be holy, I'd like to go to Acts chapter 4. Would you turn with me to Acts chapter 4, please? Count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done or what he's doing in the midst of what you're going through. Even in there, we have to trust him. Amen? Trust him. Acts chapter 4, verse 13. How does this apply? And now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Take time to be holy. The world passes on. Spend much time in secret with Jesus alone. By looking to Jesus, like him thou shalt be. There's a point. The point is this. Man, when you take time, you fellowship with him, you begin to become like him. And certainly that's evidence in this portion of scripture right here. Now don't go to sleep now. We're almost done. Some of you, you had that full meal and your bellies are full and your eyes are falling apart or falling down. We're almost done with this, okay? Hang in there, because I'm burdened. I want to get this, and I want you to get it. And I know you've heard these things over and over again. I'm hoping that maybe, you know, if need be, and everybody's not in the same boat, because some of you can come up here and do a better job of this than myself and my little brother. Spend much time with him. You'll become like him. I think of another reference in 1 John. Not being judgmental at all. Speak the truth in love. Amen? Anybody out there? Hello? Amen? That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifest, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. They looked upon him. Their hands have handled, they touched him. Talking about Jesus. They heard him. They seen him with their own eyes. They took time with him. And as a result of taking time, spending time with the Lord transformed them into his likeness. Well, how did he do it? I'm glad you asked. Through the ministry of the Word. The Word is alive. The Word has the ability to change you, to edify you. Look at all the references in the Bible to what the Word can do for you. I counted 50 at one time. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. How did he do it? The ministry of the Word, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He's the one that quickens you. You realize that you're born of the Spirit. It's Christ. You realize that God changes us into his image day by day through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I believe it's 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Let me turn there quickly. Everybody okay? I know you're tired. You all right? Everybody all right? I know this is an uncommon time for you to come, and I appreciate you being here. I don't know if I'd come to hear me. I'm glad you didn't say amen. I really expected Yvonne to say amen. That's my baby. But we all, with open face, beholding, verse 18, as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, and are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So he changes us, you know, through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, and through prayer. Those are God's tools to help us to become like him. The ministry of the Word, the ministry of prayer, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Well, how through prayer? Well, Paul prayed. He said, listen. I've been praying this all day. Lord, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm paraphrasing Ephesians chapter 3. And verse 17, he says, I pray that you might be strengthened with might by your spirit and the inner man, that Christ might dwell in our hearts by faith. Through prayer. Spend much time in secret with Jesus alone. We saw a wonderful movie last night, man. The prayer room. And this older sister, this saint, you know, she had a prayer closet, literal prayer closet. And she didn't look like Christ to me, man. I tell you what. You know, we saw many lives changed through her testimony. You say, it was just a movie. There's people like that. I bet I can point to a couple now, but I want to embarrass them. And I don't even know you that well. People like that in this church who've changed lives as a result of encouraging folks and spending time with folks and being Christ-like and them seeing Christ in them. By looking to Jesus, like him thou shalt be. Thy friends and thy conduct and the way you live, his likeness shall see. But when your friends can see Christ in you, that says a lot. Those who know you best, that really speaks, doesn't it? Take time to be holy, let him be thy guide, and run not before him, whatever betide. In joy or in sorrow, still follow thy Lord, and looking to Jesus, still trust in his word.
Turn over to Psalm 23.
Amen, brother. How'd you know I wanted you to do that? The Spirit of God, same Spirit.
Yeah, man. Lord. Yeah, man. I had a couple places I wanted to go for this, but I decided just to jump over to Psalm 23.
Wow.
He's talking about
where we're going before us. Amen.
He's talking here about letting Jesus Christ be your guide and not running ahead and not falling behind. Most of the time we are either falling behind because we don't want to keep up, or we're running ahead because we're so excited about what he's going to do. The ups and the downs. You get to Psalm 23, and this is, I don't have to belabor this. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. He's talking about God being your guide, the Lord leading you. And we know you can go to countless passages on the Word of God and how it's a guide and it's a light, and the Lord is a shield and a buckler, and he's our guide and he's our leader and he's the one we're supposed to follow. And there's countless verses on it. That's why I said I could have gone I don't know how many places to illustrate this. But the biggest problem I think that we get into nowadays as Christians is not us falling behind so often as it is getting ahead of him. Amen. I think that can be far worse to and detrimental to a Christian, is getting ahead of what God wants them to be and what he wants them to do, than falling behind a little bit. You know, falling behind, you can catch up a little bit. Getting ahead, you run out of protection. And the devil tries to push us down a road so that we will go ahead of him, because we just go, well, God would want that because it's good. God, it's good, so I should do it. The only problem is when you get to Romans chapter 12, good comes before acceptable. And that comes before perfect. And we rush in thinking that we can do what's best. When the shepherd's not leading, we're running ahead. We're hoping that, I can do what I want. I know what he wants. I've got verses. Except maybe he's not leading there yet. Maybe he's waiting. Maybe he's waiting because your time is not there yet. And Jesus Christ.
That was my word.
I know. I stole it, man. I'll get you another one. Jesus Christ is standing there and he's getting ready, and they want to kill him and they want to crucify him already. They're ready to pick up stones and stone him. And he goes, no, my hour's not come. You don't think Jesus Christ could have paid the debt of the sins of the world that day? Could have done whenever he wanted.
Amen.
Wasn't time. God's got some promises for you. Some of you want to be in the ministry. Some of you want to do some things for him. Some of you are excited and looking to see what God is already going to do for you. I beg of you, don't get ahead of him. He'll use you when he wants to use you. Until then, you wait. Say, how do you know? Because I have that. I had to wait.
Praise the Lord.
You get ahead of him, and it will cause you more problem than it will good. In fact, when you notice somebody who's ahead of what God wants for them, you know what happens to them? They get so discouraged because of the failure that they almost never get back to the place they could have been if they had just waited. So why is that so discouraging? It's so discouraging because if they would have waited, they would have gained all that they had wanted. But instead, they have nothing. And it wasn't because God didn't want them to have everything. He wants life more abundant. That's what the Good Shepherd gives.
Amen.
He gives life more abundant. But the devil got him ahead, and he sought, and he killed, and he destroyed. Because they didn't want to wait. They didn't want to wait for the shepherd. He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words, with heavenly comfort wrought. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis my God that leadeth me. Does he lead or do you run ahead?
Amen.
Does he lead or do you race him and hope for the best? Because no matter what happens, in joy or in sorrow, still follow thy Lord. And looking to Jesus, still trust in his word. You know, when Peter got out of the boat, before he stepped out there, you know what he said? If it be thou, bid me come unto thee. That means that the Lord must have bid him before he got out.
Right.
What happened to Peter? He quit trusting his word.
That's good.
He quit trusting his word, and so he looked away. Too many times we look away and we don't trust him. If he's promised it, he is faithful.
Amen.
Even when you're not.
Good brother.
Take time to be holy. Be calm in thy soul. Each thought and each motive beneath his control. Thus led by his Spirit to fountains of love, thou soon shalt be fitted for service above.
Amen. We're talking about taking time to be holy. We're talking about how to abide, how to continue to remain in close fellowship with the Lord until he enables you to bear his likeness, which is holiness. You know, holiness comes in three stages. You know, the Bible says that God sets us apart, or sanctifies us. He saves us and he sets us apart from the world and from the devil to make us holy. That's what sanctification is all about. And that sanctification comes in three stages. The first stage is positional, where you get saved and he places you in the body and God sees you. He's outside of time. He sees you as holy. Then there's a second stage. It's practical, and that's where we live, where we're a work in progress. The third stage is he's going to come in a moment and twinkling of an eye. When he comes back, and he's going to change, it's going to be perfect sanctification. But until then, we're a work in progress. And the only way that we can be like Christ in this life is to abide in him, allow him to live his life through us, the closest we can get. last point is this verse here where it says that take time to be holy, be calm in thy soul. Each thought and each motive beneath his control. Control of whom? The control of his spirit. Where God tells us not to be strong. Now, brother, would you turn to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17, I believe it is. Listen, the only way we can be like Christ is by his spirit, by yielding to the spirit of God. You can do nothing without him, but you can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. We have to be yielded to the same spirit that Jesus was yielded to that enabled him to do all that he did in his humanity, the spirit of the living God. I like what Zechariah says, not by might nor by power, by my spirit. If you try to do anything for the glory of God, without the spirit, it's going to be in the flesh. And you're not going to bear the fruit of Christ's likeness. You're going to bear counterfeit fruit, the fruit of the flesh. You have to be filled with the Spirit of the living God. How do you do that? By abiding in him. Letting him pour his spirit through us, just like the natural branch depends on the natural vine. Take time to be holy. Be calm in your soul. Each thought and each motive. Why? Beneath his control, the control of the spirit. Would you read that verse and pass it in? You can come.
Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the spirit.
In other words, don't be controlled by wine or any outside substance, alcohol or drugs or anything. But be controlled by the Spirit of the living God. He's the only one that can help you be like Christ. I just wanted to make a real quick comment in reference to following the Lord. And this is good, you know. Not only for the younger saints, the older saints as well. Listen, even I, and I've been saved for almost, 30-some-odd years. The key to following the Lord is to follow someone that's following Christ. I can follow that brother here because I know he's following Jesus. And if he ever stops following him, I'm not going to follow him anymore. I know what Christ looks like. Amen? The Bible tells us that in Hebrews chapter 13. Follow those who spoke the word of God unto you. Amen. Watching their testimony. Be obedient to those who have a rule over you. As long as they're following Christ. But boy, if you're going to be like him, you have to be dependent on the Spirit. Let me give you one more thing. And this really kind of sums it all up in reference to how to abide, how to continue to remain in close fellowship with him. And Jesus said this in closing. John chapter 15, beginning in verse 9, he says, the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. How do you do that? How do I continue in experiencing the love of God? If you keep my commandments, you shall abide. You want to abide in him? You want to continue to remain in close fellowship with him? Be obedient to his word. Obey. Let me hear you say, obey.
Obey.
No, say it this way. I must obey.
I must obey.
To abide.
To abide.
Pastor, thank you, young man. You did a good job.